CliffCentral.com.
Why don't you say hello first? It's Friday.
Oh, okay. So, we are really changing things up around here.
Yeah, we keep it different. Keep it exciting.
Ah, good Friday morning.
Oh, very nice. There we go. That felt good. Okay. Yes, we are here. We are live. It is Friday morning on CliffCentral.com. A little false enthusiasm for a Friday morning. Oh, I'm so excited about it. But I am. You know I love Fridays, so I can't help myself. Say it again.
It's the weekend! Baby!
Yes! Oh, yeah! We're getting so much love for Lucas on the show, actually.
Oh, really?
Come in here. Well, there are three things that people love about Lucas. You see, it doesn't take much. All you have to do is have three really amazing characteristics, and people just fall in love. So the first one is that he calls his car Midnight Special, so people love that.
Midnight Mystery.
Yeah.
Midnight Special is what he calls the women in his life.
Yes.
Then it's the rabbits. People love the rabbits. They're very excited about those. And what was the third thing?
Anime.
Anime.
Yes, that's right. Look at you. What an interesting human being. See?
But Sia and I discovered the other day that Lucas also has the best sock collection in the world.
Yes, he does. His sock game is extraordinary.
His sock game is out of this world.
That's true.
I mean, look at this. I'm so threatened by it. I've actually raised mine today.
Oh!
I see you've got what the fuck are you saying?
Okay.
That's very good. Well, listen, you know what? It doesn't take long for people to settle in here for the whole crew to get to know everybody. So, you know what? Just for you, we will call today, Friday the 3rd of March, Lucas Day.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
Yes.
That's right.
And by the way, I'm taking Midnight Mystery for a perfect bath this weekend.
Ah, Gwelibavu.
Just like Sia prefers his bath, so Midnight Mystery as well enjoys his long bath.
Very nice. Speaking of which, Sia is still at the Design in Durban, Cape Town. He'll be back there on Monday in the studio with the rest of us. Tell us what you are planning for the weekend. Anybody doing anything exciting? I've got two birthday parties to go to. Two. Ooh.
What are the ages?
Yeses. Now you're asking me tough questions. I don't know. I actually don't know.
Going to children's parties? Are you going to old people's parties?
No, I don't gotta, please. I think I'm going to go to a children's party.
Well, you've got a nephew who's obviously getting older every day.
You've got two, actually. The one's birthday is in January. That's already over. The other one's in May. So this is not one of theirs. And I'm not going to go to some other child's birthday. I've been to one other kid's birthday, a pair of my friends who have since moved to Canada. But I went to his first birthday, their kid. And it was really just an excuse for the adults to get drunk.
Well, that's all kids' parties.
Yes.
Is that what adults do?
That's what a kids' party is about.
All right, I'm up for it. Let's do some kids' parties.
It's about the parents, you know, having other adults over because they're probably just a little bit sick and tired of their kids.
Right.
It's just like, no, I want some adult.
And once all the kids are in like a one playpen area, it's the part of the garden or whatever, then the parents can relax and actually have a good time.
No, but I think it's so selfish. Like when you're a kid, you want to get away from your parents and you want to get in a hectic sugar rush and misbehave. Kids' parties nowadays, you can't because like, no, Johnny, no, don't do that. Don't make me put my beer down. Not make me put my beer down.
It's health and safety obsession as well because when we were kids, you know, I was listening to a conversation between my mother and her best friend at lunch Sunday a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about how when all of us were growing up, her kids and my mom's kids, that we just disappeared for the whole day. We would go down to the river or we would smash rocks together. I mean, we were very, you know, we didn't have to have PlayStations and shit. Mm-hmm. And I hate to sound like one of those old people who's always complaining about like how simple our lives are. But really, we would amuse ourselves for hours. We would climb trees. We would hunt imaginary creatures in the night. Like we would walk, we had this long driveway on the farm. So we'd go up this driveway with a torch. Each of us had a torch. And my sister was 9 years younger than me, so she would be trailing at the back. And then we would shine the torch, and there's always like something in there, whether it's a little jackal or a, you know, it might have been a rabbit for all I know. that run around because it was a big farm and it was in the middle of nowhere.
Gareth, what do you have again? What do you have against rabbits?
Oh, shut up, Lucas. So we'd walk up the driveway, which was long, and we'd shine these torches and we'd all like do our best to scare the hell out of each other. And we would say, oh my God, there's some eyes. Ah, it's a monster. And you're like little kids. So you run. And my poor little sister was always left right at the back because she was the youngest and the smallest. And so she would scream and like try to keep up with us. We would imagine there were these horrible, terrifying monsters that lived in the kind of grass near on the sides of the road.
Oh man, those were such different times. I mean, you know,
those were the good old days.
My buddy and I one day sitting having tea when we're 80 years old, telling these same stories.
No, I mean, my parents will tell you the same thing, that, you know, we would literally get lost for the whole day and they would never stress because, you know, if you're at somebody else's house and they're going to feed you there,
right,
eventually the mother will bring your ass back home at like 7 o'clock at night.
Like, I'm sorry that she's such a mess, but she's been out in the field. You know.
But I mean, these days, parents, I don't think they have that luxury anymore.
But what is the craziest thing that you've done as kids? Your friends?
We used to build swings in the trees. You take a piece of rope, that nylon rope, you'd put it through a piece of hose pipe that you would cut so that it would hang on the tree through that. And then you'd tie like a broomstick or something at the bottom, but not the whole broomstick, you'd cut a piece off. So it was just big enough for hands or for you to sit on or whatever.
Right. Mm.
And we would tie that to the other end. And we'd hang it high up in a tree. I mean, you think about it now, it's really stupid because that rope can't really hold a lot of weight. The tree branch, we never checked if it was rotten or anything else. I mean, like if someone fell, you're kids, so you get up and you dust yourself off and you're like, okay, let's try another branch. But we would put these things up in trees and we would then run. It was usually on an embankment. We would run with this thing in our hands and we would swing the fuck out of it and go run and then come back. And it was like the best feeling in the world.
Well, growing up, it was my sister and I. But our imagination was wild. So we would take our Barbie dolls out into the garden, and that was when they would go on a trip. They're like flying to some other country, and we make them climb trees because, you know, they're going hiking or whatever. And then we'd always, like, there was always about imaginary friends.
Yes.
My sister and I had imaginary friends, but the one day we actually irritated my mom so much that she kicked our imaginary friend out of the house. She physically opened the door and told her to leave. And my sister and I were devastated. It was the dumbest thing in the world.
But isn't it cool of your mom to have honored the verbal reality?
Dude.
Your mom is like, I'm not going to spoil the fun here. But I'm going to spoil the fun.
I'm going to spoil the fun. She has to go. And we believed that this imaginary person was kicked out of the house. It was so silly.
Well, we went for bee harvesting, for honey harvesting. So,
Jesus,
yeah.
You've done some fun.
So, it was hectic.
Where are you from? Like, what the hell have you... You're like, so weird. You farm rabbits and then you tell me you grew up growing bees.
So, like...
Farming bees.
Like, you know, in the farm and you know, if you're in a rain, there isn't much to do.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
One guy comes up with an idea. Let's go get honey. And you're like, yeah, let's go.
But did you have hives?
No.
Oh, so you'd steal.
Yeah,
but that's fun. Okay, stealing when you're a kid. Like, especially from, like, if you find some guy who grows, like, 1,000 carrots, you're going to go and steal carrots as a kid.
You're going to date each other. You're going to be like, you go.
And if someone next door has got a peach tree, and the peaches are the, yes, sis, there's no way you're going to stop kids from stealing those peaches. They're going to rip every peach off of that tree.
So, yeah, I've never got stung by bees like that in my life. And
you got stung badly?
I've got stung so
everywhere.
Badly. Everywhere. And when we get home, like, parents didn't give a damn. Like, okay, you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. They're not like... Now if you got home with bee stings, your mom would be like, oh, my God, what's happened to you? Let's rush you to the doctor. What if you're
allergic?
But if you were allergic, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
So then they wouldn't have to stress. They'd just have to bury you the next day. It's not the end of the world. Make another one. I always say to people, like, just make another kid. You hardly knew them. You only knew them for 3-4 years. Just make a new one.
So what ages are these birthday parties? Are they monumental things, like 50th or 40th?
No. No, they're kind of unimportant in-betweeners, both. But it's people I like, so I think I'll enjoy myself. Mm. I've got a... a weekend in May where I've got two weddings, Friday and the Saturday. So that'll be a similar sort of arrangement where you go to see everybody on the Friday, and then you probably see a few of the same people on the Saturday as well. Should be good, though. People flying in from all over the country, so that's always a nice thing to do. You got anything planned, Mubs?
I'm going to be with one of my cousins over the weekend.
Your cousins sound like they get you to do stupid and bad things.
No, they're not stupid. They're not stupid and bad. It's just that there's...
But I remember last time, like, you guys all get drunk on a Sunday or something.
Oh, well, I mean, we're always getting drunk. But the thing is, there's so many of us because it's such a big family. So every other weekend, there's an opportunity to do something with somebody. And then I've got a baby shower to attend on Sunday.
Oh, nice. What are those like? I haven't been to one of those. Like most guys don't get invited to the baby shower. We just go out with the husband and, like, again, just drink.
Apparently nowadays there's nappy parties for the husbands.
What?
You all arrive with nappies.
Oh, and then what?
God, that's lame.
I don't know. I've always declined to be invited to one.
That is so lame.
Somebody needs to fill us in on what happened there.
It's like you arrive with a pack of nappies and then you just drink beer and, you know, talk about, well done, you're becoming a father or something.
Yeah, no. That sounds terrible. But you know what I want? I want to do this weekend. I just want to eat one really fantastic... You made me jealous the other day when you told that story about that restaurant you went to.
Oh.
Like the Portuguese food or something. I just want to have one really spectacular meal this weekend. That's all that's on my agenda. I'll even, like, not pitch for one of the birthdays. If I can have that spectacular... And I'll go on my own if I have to as well.
You must write down categories and see what you're feeling like. Like a bit of Thai, some Indian, some Portuguese, some Greek.
I just want a large slab of meat.
Steak then.
Yes, I love that. Oh, it's the best thing. And, you know, I haven't really been eating a lot of crap this week, so I feel I've earned it. Earned it.
Yep, pretty much.
I think. So we'll see how it goes. You, Ben, what are you up to?
Well, the last two weekends have been quite hectic, so Daniela and I are planning on just spending some alone time. Because we had my parents staying with us and then her parents staying with us.
And then she was away or something, wasn't she?
And she's been away. Yeah. And we've been sick independently.
Right.
So it's actually the first weekend we haven't got those kind of plans, which is so cool.
Very cool.
But it's my brother's birthday, so I'm going to go see him at some stage, go have a beer with him.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's nice to have these chilled weekends. It really is.
Listen, for most people, the weekend can go only one of two ways. There's no middle ground. Either it's going to be just a massive, exhausting, nonstop energy-using party, or it's going to be totally relaxing, and you get a lot of sleep in, and you do minimal exertion of your physical activities. You just the absolute minimum, and that can be just as fulfilling.
Mm. Also, Meows has been having some night terrors. So
what?
She has bad dreams. She wakes up in the middle of the night and she, like, jumps up in the bed and meows and stuff. It's very strange.
You think she's being bullied by the other cats in the neighborhood?
No, she's being bullied by Indian miners. It is the strangest thing. These bastard birds are, like, swooping on her. Like, all she wants to do is go out to the garden and you hear these horrible, horrible birds coming at her.
Meows doesn't strike me as a kind of cat that gets bullied.
Well, why don't she just eat them?
On the land, sure, but these things are coming from all directions. She can't jump up and fight them. They're sneaky bastards.
Oh, but didn't you say that you want to get a pellet gun or something and shoot some of these bastards?
I do, but then I think, okay, but then there's like a building in the flight line and there's a car. So I think I must get one of those, like, you know, small kids have nets for butterflies.
Yeah.
Or when they go fishing.
That's not going to work. Those miners are way too fast.
Yeah, but I've had a life of playing sport where I hit things, so I'm pretty sure I can get close enough.
I have tried to shoot these things from...
Yeah, but the thing is, they're going from meows, right? So they are narrowing
in. Listen, please. These birds are so fast. They're lightning fast.
Well, at least if I show interest in my hatred towards them, then they might go, okay, hang on a second, maybe we should leave the cattle there.
Nah. Those things can see you out of the corner of their eye, and before you even get within striking distance, they're gone. They are supremely fast. Those are the most irritating birds in the world.
Well, Gareth, I'm determined to kill one.
Go on. If you get it right, I'll give you $500 for the corpse.
in the vein of Mabali Maloy's savageness, I'm going to kill one of these bastards.
Hey, a lot of people very disturbed on email that Mab says she killed people in her previous life. A lot of people are very worried about that. They're worried about you.
No, don't worry. I mean, I killed them in my dreams.
Yeah, you didn't actually.
And it's nobody that I know personally. It's never, you know, a friend or a family member or a colleague. It's just some random person that I kill.
Yeah, no, I look, I'm not worried about it. I just wouldn't necessarily close my eyes and have a nap near you, in case, because that's probably when you strike.
And also, if we had to go to battle, she would kill us by mistake.
Yeah, she'd say, then my gun slipped and I took your head off with that maximum automatic artillery fire.
Has anyone seen my axe? Why is it in your head? Oh, shit, sorry.
Sia, you were in my way. Yeah. I'm sorry. You were my way.
You wouldn't go to battle with Sia because he would wake the enemy up long before you even got there and they would want to kill you just from the noise. There are two people here at Cliff Central who do not stop talking. Sia and Flaming Alan Ford.
The two of them should actually have a show together.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it would be listenable, but it would be interesting to see it.
It would be awful. Okay, let's take a look at some messages and things. By the way, you can get hold of us on the WhatsApp line 079-748-2090. If you want to tweet us, you can do that too. All pictures up in front of me, and I can take a look at the screen and see what you're up to. Ashley says, parents today are sissies. And Anushka says, we used to get veggies from grand pieces of meat and cooked in tins on down coals outside. No one worried about us burning.
Yes.
I think that is the most badly constructed sentence Anushka's ever sent anyone.
Obviously, puts the Thursday hard.
Greg says, morning. I was listening to the Lecheho Zulu interview yesterday. Very good interview, Gareth. What a strong woman. Yeah, she, you know what? Sometimes the interviewee does all the work for you, and she's an incredible woman with a very, very difficult story, and she's not living in the past, she's not full of regrets, she appreciates the life that she had up to now, but she's starting a new one, and I think that that's the healthiest thing in the world. And I mean, who would want to go through what she went through? No one. And she comes in here and she's all smiles and positive energy. And you know what? You can tell a sad story, but you don't have to make people sad. What I find is that someone like her comes in, they tell their sad story, but she's inspiring. That's the difference. You know, some people sit and go, oh, my life is so hard. It's so difficult. I woke up this morning and I couldn't get out of bed. But they, you know, they'll burst into tears if the traffic light's red. And then you've got someone like her who's got a real story to tell. But she's not wallowing in self-pity and misery. She's picked herself up and she's moving ahead. What a winner. I love winning. Don't like losers. Nobody wants to be a loser. Everybody hates boring, miserable people. What have we got on today? Let me give you a quick look at the menu. By the way, the Ginger's perspective, you know, C.S. Duplessis's show, it's picking up nicely. People are enjoying that, so you can go and check that out. That's another show that we launched last year on cliffcentral.com. And if you missed any of it, you can go and have a look. There's a complete log, an archive of every show we've ever done. You just have to go and dig through. You can use the search function. If you want to go by show or by day, you can find anything you're looking for because it's all right there. It's not difficult to find. I want to talk to this dude later on called Sakile. He's from Nairobi, and he's doing this project that I think will interest a lot of people. You know how much plastic there is in the world? Oh, like plastic that can't be destroyed. And I know this sounds boring as hell, but just you can't pretend you give a shit about the environment. And you're not worried about all the plastic that lies around.
Especially in the oceans. There's parts of the ocean out there where there's just like towns, basically. Just masses of plastic that's got together with one current.
Well, you know what? I heard something horrifying the other day about space debris. How much stuff there is in the atmosphere. Well, the upper atmosphere, you know, that circles around the Earth. Some of this stuff, if you wanted to plot a course with a spacecraft out of our atmosphere into space, you would have to be super careful not to hit any of the space debris because it can throw you off course.
Sure.
And if you hit the wrong piece of space debris, because a lot of it is steel or like bits of satellites or crap that they've just kind of expelled into the atmosphere.
Old Russian pornos.
Well, yeah, and old Russians. There's some Russians floating around in there too. And this stuff is apparently so hard to navigate through that NASA keeps a log of where all the space debris is. And you can actually go onto a site and you can see all the crap floating around the Earth. We have messed up not only the place we live, but even the surrounding area. That's how disgusting we are.
I saw someone tweeting after that discovery was made of the seven new planets, and somebody said, no, why are you telling humans that there's planets for them to ruin?
We will so bugger that up. But I do find, like, it's interesting. Obviously, as somebody who cares about, you know, science and space travel and humans pushing the frontiers, and that's how we get better. That's how we develop our civilization forward rather than just staying where we are. But I do think it's the dumbest argument in the world for people to be looking at seven new planets instead of trying to save the one that we're currently on. Because to get there, and I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about this. He's the great astronomer. And he was saying, like, the cost of starting a colony on Mars and the technological advances we would need to make in order to start living on Mars, which is the closest planet to us, it's not necessarily habitable. Mm. But if we had to terraform Mars and we had to build an ecosystem there, even if it was under a dome or whatever that we could live in, and to send the people there who could start a colony, he said, what's the point? That if we could do all of that, we should be able to, like, take out an asteroid or fix the pollution on Earth, tidy up, grow some more rainforests. He said it's way easier to do that than to...
This whole Mars thing is one big vanity project for people like Elon Musk. It's all just self-marketing. It's stupid. If we can live on Mars, why don't we just go into the Gobi Desert and create the next New York or something like that? Like,
not exactly.
At least here, the atmosphere, we know, okay, sure, maybe 50 degrees, whatever, but there's oxygen.
And we can recycle water. We've just got to figure out how to do it properly. None of the water has been lost to space. In other words, it's still here. Some of it is dirty and filthy. Mm-hmm. Some of it is in inaccessible places. But we've got everything. We've got the same amount of stuff on Earth that every previous generation of humans had. We just don't manage it properly. And we do a lot of destructive, stupid shit that sends carbon into the atmosphere and that kind of thing. But we should develop the science to pull that stuff back out.
Exactly. It's this dreadful disposable mindset we've got into. Nothing lasts, so we just throw it away and we'll make something new.
Yeah. Well,
how about just rejuvenate and look after something?
That's really annoying. Very annoying. What is the time? We better get to news in the next couple of minutes. Here are some messages that have come through. When is Prof Block coming back in? Dominic. Dominic, let me know. I think next Thursday he's in, Prof Block. And we've got to talk to him about those seven planets, so I'm glad you asked. When you're born rich and you've got nothing else to think about, then there's a Facebook link. Well, please don't do that to me because then I have to click on the link. I saw Ricky Rick at some award show. He was kicked off stage for saying young musicians must try the internet. Was he kicked off stage? I heard he said that radio is stupid, that you have to do payola if you want to get your song played, and that the internet's the future, which isn't controversial. It's true.
I guess he was kicked off the stage. This was at the Metro FM Awards.
He kicked off?
Well, I guess technically he was, because what happened was they cut off his speech that he was giving. So they made it so that, you know, right, people couldn't hear the speech anymore. And I guess that's a form of kicking him off.
Dummies. You know, these idiots in radio, they really are the lowest common denominator. They're such bottom-feeding, trash-talking, stinking piles of garbage. They really are. Aren't they?
They really didn't like what Ricky was saying on the night. You know, he was attacking radio stations.
Radio people.
He was attacking record companies.
How depressing. Oh, my God. All right, so tell us what you're planning for the weekend. Tell us what you got up to. Tell us what your priorities are this weekend, what you want to do. Let's get into some news with Mubs. We're going to check in on the sport with Ben, and we'll get to Anthea with a little bit of what's going on with your money. Shall we do that?
Yes.
Let's do it. Colcacchio Pizzeria has what all vegans crave. Cheesy, delicious, vegan pizzas. Long gone are the days of dry pizza breads, having no options when you dine out with friends and family. You know, it was always very sad when the vegan would sit at your table and they'd have nothing to order, and everyone else is having a great time. They're ordering fun stuff, and the poor old vegan sits and goes, I'll just have some dry old bread and water. And even that sometimes they can't have because it's got stuff in it. So I feel bad for them. But luckily, Colcacchio's has come to the rescue. If you want to know more about this, you can enjoy one of their delicious vegan margarita pizzas or substitute vegan cheese on your favorite pizza at an additional cost nationwide. Colcacchio Pizzeria. They're the reason you crave vegan pizza. Right? Yes. Beautiful contribution there. All right, Mubs, what do we got in the news? What do we need to know?
Well, emergency services managed to confirm late last night that everyone at the Charlotte Maxeke Hospital had been accounted for. This was following the roof that collapsed at this facility's main entrance. Five people were injured. Two of them were outpatients when a section on the fifth floor just caved in. It just gave in, Gareth, yesterday afternoon. And this happened near the main entrance.
You know, people say going to hospital is dangerous because of superbugs and stuff. But when the whole building is the biggest danger to you?
So the health minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, then, you know, had to be there. He had to show his face and then gave a little impromptu press conference where he said that the company that was hired to do maintenance work on the roof failed to assess its strength before piling weight on it. They were doing maintenance work when this happened. He says that, or rather he said, the maintenance company should be held accountable for the roof collapsing as well as injuring people. And the Gauteng MEC for Infrastructure Development, Jacob Mamabolo, he said that the contractor clearly has a case to answer. He said the contractor had moved concrete that was spread across the roof. He piled it onto one section of the roof, which resulted in it being overloaded, and then the thing caved in. But luckily, you know, none of the workers at the hospital, none of the patients who were there, you know, were terribly, terribly injured. No lives lost, just, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Still, it's just a horrible thing to happen. And, you know, you don't go to hospital because you're in a great state. So I can imagine some of these people were... The last thing you expect is for the roof to fall down on you.
Yeah. I mean, how frightening must that be?
Do me a favor. All right, what else?
Well, speaking of frightening, Gareth, I don't know if you saw, you know, pictures and videos that were being uploaded onto social media from the flash floods that took place yesterday in parts of Johannesburg. Jeepers.
Yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon. This happened in the East Rand as well as in the south of Johannesburg.
Did you get rain?
I didn't get rain, no.
I got loads of rain and massive lightning.
Oh.
No, but this was...
I didn't get any.
No, Gareth, this was...
I was here yesterday afternoon.
I'm sure if you just go onto Twitter and you'll see some of the stuff, some of the footage that was being shared. You know, drivers got stuck on the M3 highway.
Yeah.
People's cars got swept away. Unfortunately, there were reports of one motorist that did die as a result of the heavy downpour. This was according to the Johannesburg Metro Police Chief Superintendent Wayne Minnar.
Mm-hmm.
A motorist died on Mnandi Road in Diepsloot that afternoon. And then, unfortunately, there was also a 7-year-old boy who was swept away in the same floods. This happened on Elias Motsoaledi Road in Dobsonville. Yeah, him and his friends were basically playing in a trench, apparently, when he was suddenly swept away. They, you know, immediately then started searching for him. But unfortunately, the search had to be called off late afternoon. And, you know, they've said that they've halted that process until further notice. But, yeah. There's, you know, a parent out there today whose child was swept away yesterday and they have no idea what's happened to them.
And these flash floods, that's a scary thing because you don't, there's no warning. It doesn't need like a build up. It just, boom, happens.
Yes, yes. No, I mean, some of these videos and pictures are really, really frightening to look at.
Man.
Yeah. And it's just so, it's so unreal that, you know, you could be in one part of Johannesburg and not have a drop of rain. And then somebody dies in a completely different part of the same city. So, yeah. I must just find out from the weather service what they predict about, you know, the weekend.
Do I call them now?
Okay. I mean, I didn't know that we have them on the line like that.
Some on the line.
Oh, okay.
Just dial the number here. Hang
yeah,
on.
Please. Just.
God's sake.
Sorry, we're trying our best here.
Hello?
Oh.
No, it's not them.
No, it's not them. All right.
God's sake.
Fine, I'll try and find information.
Right.
Okay, and then customs officials arrested a man with 16 kilograms of gold bars at Oamtambo International Airport yesterday. How do you even carry 16 kilograms of gold bars?
Aren't those I don't know, but I'm willing to try.
aren't they very heavy, though?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Well, when you've got 16 kilograms of gold bars of flour or clothes, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, you're right. These bars were worth 8 million rand. They were found in a suitcase at Oamtambo International Airport, according to SARS. The passenger was in transit from Maputo, Mozambique to Dubai. Upon inspection of the passenger's travel documents, customs officials noted possible irregularities. And then an inspection of the passenger's hand luggage led to the discovery of 5 gold bars. The documentation and gold bars were handed over to the Hawks. The man faces prosecution. Yeah.
I want to try and smuggle gold bars.
No, don't
do
it. Don't do it. You want to go to jail?
No. That part I don't want to do.
Okay,
but
then.
But I still want to try. I've never held a gold bar. Have you ever had a gold bar in your hand?
No,
never. I want to know how that feels. I remember they used to have one at Gold Reef City, but I think they glued it down and you could never pick it up. But it was like a fake gold bar. And they said, oh, it's too heavy for a person to lift, which is bullshit because I've seen them dragging that stuff around. Come on. I want to try it. Someone bring me a gold bar. Where's Sibanye Gold? They sponsor the leadership platform. Come on. Why don't you just bring us a gold bar? Why are you guys being so greedy about that? Huh?
But whenever you hear these stories, the person is always en route to Dubai. Oh, a man was found with 20 million rand in cash en route to Dubai.
Well, you know why? Because it's a travel hub, and it's like a nexus for airplanes. It's a huge airport. All the Emirates flights have to go through there. So if you book on Emirates, which is probably one of the world's biggest airlines, you're likely to go there.
But if you've got 20 million rand or 16 gold bars, I'm pretty sure you can fly direct.
Oh, for sure.
Somewhere
you would like hire a private plane, and then no one's going to check your luggage.
Exactly.
But isn't it the same as with the drug cartel? Don't they just get some mule, some guy to pay off and say, listen, please take these gold bars from me over to Dubai, and then somebody will be waiting there for you with a suitcase of cash.
Who do you trust? Who are you going to trust with all that gold? I wouldn't.
I don't know, but are you going to risk being caught yourself, or are you going to pay some lackey to go through that risk? I don't know.
I don't. You know what? There are probably 3 people in the world, and they're all family, that I would trust with my gold bars if I had gold bars lying around. Who would you trust? You know that if they can, they're going to gap it with your... Because gold bars, that must be worth a fair amount of money.
18 million rand.
These ones...
8 million rand.
It was 8 million rand worth of gold.
How many bars?
It was 16 kilograms. I don't know how many actual bars, but
16 kgs. Okay, so that's like a small dog. Or a medium-sized dog.
Or 40 rabbits.
Yeah. Lucas, how much does a rabbit weigh? I'm not sure. He doesn't have no idea because he doesn't weigh them. Wow, that's something else. Man, gold bars. You just casually walk through the airport. What if you go through those scanners, they're going to see the gold bars. Are you insane? It's metal. It's going to set them off like... I leave my cell phone in my pocket. It sets those things off, right?
Yeah, I mean...
You're not going to get away with that shit.
You can't ingest gold bars like you can with drugs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yes, actually, they're bound to be picked up when your luggage is going through the scanner.
Yeah, well, absolutely. All right, should we get into Ben and the sport?
Yeah.
Let's do it. It's Friday morning, everybody. Here's a little look at the sport for you.
Yeah, big weekend of Super Rugby. And, of course, it starts on Thursdays nowadays, being as fruity as it is. And yesterday, the Reds were hot favourites to beat the Force, but they played like crap. They really did. Quade Cooper, questions remain about him and whether he should have even come back to Australia. As the Force won 26-19.
Why are they asking about that? They don't like this Quade Cooper. He's a naughty guy, right?
Well, I guess if you're being very nice, you call him a mercurial talent. If you're being very honest, you just call him a knobhead. So there's so much that is at stake here when you're playing flyer for a big team, and he doesn't seem to be delivering. And this Reds team is just not so great. They beat the Sharks last week, which doesn't say much about the Sharks, I think.
All right.
We'll find out later about that when they play. But yeah, I mean, the Force, I think they haven't won at home for like 2 years. So you can imagine that their home supporters literally just suckers of punishment rocking up. And then yesterday, hey, they got a win. 26-19. So on to the rest of the weekend's fixtures. And the Chiefs versus the Blues is the next game. Of course, today is Friday.
Yes, yeah. Well done, Ben.
Yes, that's
for someone who doesn't care about the calendar, that took you a long time.
No, I'm so thrown by these Thursday games because it just seems silly why you'd have to play on Thursday. Anyway, so Friday today, 8:35 South African time, we've got the Chiefs versus the Blues. Good game there. My prediction, that one, Chiefs by 8. Then tomorrow, lots and lots of games. Hurricanes versus Rebels, 6:15 it kicks off there. Rebels not very good. Hurricanes very good. Look for the Hurricanes to win by about 26. Highlanders versus Crusaders after that. What a good game this is going to be. 8:35 South African time. Highlanders by 8, I reckon. Followed by Brumbies versus the Sharks. And the Sharks lost last week to the Reds. They showed lack of BMT and just general composure. So I'm going to go with Brumbies by 6 in this one. 10:45 that one. And then the Sunwolves take on the Kings, which is basically like a bum fight. You wouldn't really...
A bum?
Like, yeah, homeless people.
Oh, those kind of bums.
Jeez, I was picturing people slapping their butts together. Yeah, and
like they're having a fight where they make contact via ass.
I took it to somewhere dodgy.
I just think the word hobo is not very PC, is it? So you got to say bum fight.
Homeless people.
Yes, Ben. What's wrong with you?
A lot, clearly. Which has never been in dispute here. So anyway, but
a bum fight.
Basically, the battle of the worst two.
I've heard of a bun fight, but a bum fight.
Well, that's kind of what this game is going to represent, because the Sunwolves had about, like, literally almost 3 weeks of preseason training, right? These guys are just going to this tournament so unprepared. And they got the Kings, who are the Kings. So these two are going to be fighting for that wooden spoon so hard. It's going to be like watching people who are, you know, down in their luck in life having a fight.
Shame, that's awful.
I reckon, though, the Kings, well, they could upset the Sunwolves here. I think that either one of these teams can be a favorite is quite a push, but I'm going to go Kings by 2 on that one.
Okay.
The Lions host the Waratahs. First game at home for the Lions. I
noticed you've started predicting outcomes again. You gave that a break after you were so wrong.
Mixing it up. Because I'm not actually backing a single team here. I'm giving you a spread. So Lions, I reckon, over the Waratahs by 10. They'll be taking place at 3:05 on Saturday.
All right.
And then the Stormers versus the Jaguars. I reckon Stormers by 15 here because the Jaguars can never keep all 15 players in the field. This is a known fact. And the Stormers play quite a tight and frustrating game, which only frustrates the Latinos even more, which could see them lashing out at Newlands, and that will be taking place at 5:15. And then the Cheetahs versus the Bulls. Well, the Bulls forward pack isn't that great, and if your forward pack's not good, you can't win rugby. That's how it works, unfortunately, even when you've got a great backline like the Bulls have. So I'm going to go Cheetahs by 5, 7:30. Great weekend of Super Rugby, it really is. And you can put the fire on around midday, get properly stuck and done whatever you like drinking, and you can watch all of those games and never leave the comfort of your lapa. Or house, depending on how you watch rugby. How cool.
Your lapa.
It's also the Las Vegas Sevens this weekend.
You never need to leave your lapa. People like a lapa.
Stack the optics and then get to good
if
to go.
Have you ever looked at those property things that they publish every weekend? You see how many of those houses, they list a lapa as a major plus.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle add-on.
Huh? You got a lapa, Mabs?
No, not currently.
Better than a jacuzzi.
You got a lapa, Ben?
No, unfortunately, I don't have outside areas.
I don't have a lapa either.
Well, you're missing out. Las Vegas Sevens and the Blitzbox, who are top of the world seven standings right now and very much the form team, they'll be in Pool A. So they'll be taking on Canada, France, and Wales. In Pool B, we'll see Chile, England, Samoa, and the USA. Pool C will see Argentina, Kenya, New Zealand, and Russia.
Yes.
And then Pool D will have Australia, Fiji, Japan, and Scotland. So those games will all take place sort of mid-morning SA time because of course, America is behind us, and they'll be playing at the nighttime in Las Vegas.
Yes.
That's very exciting. No Six Nations this week because they're taking another break. Mm-hmm. On to the PSL, though. Right, tonight, Friday, Cape Town City versus Sundance. All these games, 8 o'clock. Platinum Stars versus Chipper. Wits versus Celtics. Big, big night of football here.
No.
Which then brings us into Chiefs versus Pirates. And I saw something really funny about this game yesterday, saying that Chiefs versus Pirates is a real draw card because a draw is always on the cards. So,
no.
It's 3:30 tomorrow, a big the Soweto Derby, which is always the most boring game you possibly ever find.
Do people still go?
Of course, because it's like a day out. It's like a proper thing to do. You know, and their trends and hashtags and stuff. SuperSport United, who are the top side right at the moment, I'll take on the IS Cape Town at 8:15. And then in the English Premier League, yeah, there's lots of games there. So many games. So many games. But the ones you should be looking out for, really, Liverpool versus Arsenal at 7:30. Now, Liverpool will be referred to as the Robin Hood of football teams. They steal the points from the rich clubs, and they give them back to the poor ones. So, Arsenal, rich team, they will steal the points there. So, look for Liverpool to win that one.
Okay.
And then, absolute crap ton of cricket as well. We've got the final ODI, SA versus New Zealand. That will be Saturday morning from 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so that's 4th of March, Saturday. Big decider. It's also a bit of a rematch of the SA versus New Zealand semi-final of the World Cup, where we choked the crap out of it there. But new team, I think this is a much better side. And I reckon the Proteas are going to blow New Zealand away here. Because if Guptill doesn't score 180, they're screwed. I know Guptill scored more than 183 times, but I don't think it's going to happen again. So look for the Proteas to win that one. Then we've got India versus Australia, second test in Bangalore. And then today we've got the first ODI between the West Indies and England as well, starting at 3:30.
Yes.
And then finally, two more stories. We've got the golf, Swan Open currently on in Pretoria Country Club. Gregory Havre, Alexander Bjork and Hayden Porteous share the lead there. And the weather looks to be all right, so we'll get a four-round tournament finally. And then in Mexico, at the Club de Golf, Chapultepec in Mexico City. It is the WGC, and currently Ross Fisher, John Rahm, Lee Westwood, Jimmy Walker, Ryan Moore, and Phil Mickelson all share the lead. They're massively stacked leaderboard. Rory McIlroy is back. He's just one shot off the pace. Last week's winner, Ricky Fowler, also very close to the lead. That is going to be amazing, and it's a really fun course. Very tree-lined. Golfers going to shape the ball a hell of a lot. Which then brings us into our final story of the week, Gareth, and it involves tennis.
Tell me more.
And it involves drugs, which means it involves Maria Sharapova.
Oh, that dirty, dirty woman.
So she gets back to playing tennis on the 26th of April, right? That's when her ban is done.
Yes.
And she's eventually going to be free to play. So she's done her time, she's learned her lesson, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't mean she's going to play in the French Open, right? Now, the French Open are unprepared to give her a wild card, which means they're not going to invite her to come play. Despite the fact that she moaned her way to two titles there in 2012 and 2014, she doesn't get exempt for playing there. So if you win, say, the US Open golf, right? Cool, come back. Play for as long as you ever really want. It's all good. Whereas here, it's very much season to season. It's cutthroat. So they're not going to give her a wild card because this French guy, Bernard Guidicelli, he says, look, we want to put more money into stopping doping, right? Mm-hmm. Which means we can't exactly give her a wild card, seeing as she fell foul of the rules.
Mm.
So they're between a bit of a modal compassing place right now.
Yes, that's a big problem.
So good on you, Bernard. But the thing is, she might not even be able to pre-qualify like all the other sort of pleb tennis players are, because her rankings have gone to shit so much. She'll have to win this event that she comes back to have enough ranking points to even go into a pre-qualifying. Talk about pressure, huh? She's been given wildcard entries to Madrid and Rome because obviously they know that she'll pull a crowd and therefore make money. Mm-hmm. But unless she wins in her first start back in Stuttgart, she hasn't got a hope in hell making the French Open.
Mm.
So, moral of the story?
Motor.
Don't dope.
Suck a muckle dust.
There we go. Gareth, spot on. That's a sport for
Don't
Friday.
Don't dope, you idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid Maria Sharapova. Cheating, lying, thieving Maria Sharapova. You can't do that stuff. Let's get to Anthea and find out what's going on in the world of money. There's exciting stuff to talk about this morning.
She will come for money, so you pay.
That's right. Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
Yeah, we've got lots of things to talk about. I heard the Reserve Bank have said they're going to offer up shares.
Indeed, they're selling 150,000 shares owned by people who exceed the limits. So because the Reserve Bank has to stay independent, you're not allowed to own a certain percentage, and I think you're not allowed to own more than 10,000 shares. That's how it works. So, I mean, listen, this is...
Just tell me quickly, who owns the Reserve Bank as we speak now, before they offered up these shares? I mean, who are the major parties? Who are the major shareholders in there?
Sure, I did look it up a couple of months ago, but I've forgotten now. I know there's an offshore family, and I think they were Dutch or something.
Really? I can't remember. You're telling me that some Dutch family owns the Reserve Bank?
Well, they own shares in it. They don't own the majority share. They don't own. They can't make decisions on their own. They don't own enough to vote out or somebody in. You know, I think you can probably vote for non-exec directors. The whole point of the Reserve Bank is that it has to be independent. This is not like an investment case. You know, they pay 10 cents per share per annum as a dividend, and actually now it's 8 cents after dividend withholding taxes up to 20%. And so it's like negligible. It's like the tiniest. This holding Reserve Bank shares is not going to make you rich. It's a sentimental purchase.
So this would be the kind of thing that you would do just so that you could tell your friends you had some.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no other reason to do it.
Well, and part of it is that you want the Reserve Bank to be independent. So you don't want a certain family to own all the shares so that they can make decisions about the Reserve Bank.
I just got some breaking...
And appoint governors.
I just got some breaking news about who owns most of these shares. Just hang on. Mabali Moloi is a major shareholder in the Reserve Bank.
You know, I've got...
out there.
No comment.
I love that Mabali owns shares in the Reserve Bank.
She owns as many as the Guptas, apparently.
Absolutely no comment.
There we go, you see?
She's learning how to shut her mouth about these things so that she can be one of those old money people that you never really assure is rich.
And she'll keep it independent, I'm sure. But talk about the Guptas. There was an article in Bloomberg yesterday that said Baroda Bank was closing the Guptas' account. But apparently the Guptas are denying it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. There's more going on there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Those Guptas, they've always got their hands in the till, huh?
Always something.
It's always a story. We're not going to be adding any Reserve Bank shares to any of our portfolios, are we?
No, Gareth. I mean, it is a nice thing to hold in, but no. My job is to make you money, and this is not going to make you rich.
Okay, got you.
No. You can earn some in your personal capacity if you want.
Please. The less the Reserve Bank has to do with me, the happier I'll be. I'm not anti them, but they have these MPC meetings where they decide to do nothing, and that they think that's a job.
Yes.
Imagine meeting a couple of times a year and deciding to do nothing and getting paid for it.
But imagine meeting a couple of times a year and deciding to raise interest rates every time. I'd rather you did nothing, thanks.
Yeah, but then you shouldn't get paid.
I'd love to see you on the MPC. You would be. You'd be a thorn in their side, wouldn't you?
All right. Let's just talk quickly about the market quickly because
generally,
yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, and February was not the greatest month.
Oh, it was an awful month. Well, at least we've started off the first 2 days of March positive. Yesterday we were up about just close on 0.5%. Volume was back to kind of normal, if you like, $1.7 billion traded. But four names made up 40% of the volume yesterday. It's incredible. Our market is so heavily weighted to these big caps. stocks. MTN, Naspers, Standard Bank, and Steinhoff made up 50% of volume. Excuse me.
Sure.
The first, MTN, they reported full year results yesterday. Essentially, revenue was flat, 146 billion rand, but for the first time in two decades, the company printed a headline loss of 77 cents per share, and that does include the Nigerian fine. Even though they printed a loss, they still managed to maintain their 7 rand full-year dividend, you know, and there are concerns about how they're going to get money out of Nigeria. So that was quite something. There were a couple of positives. They managed to extract 900 million rand from Iran. And Iran's actually looking like it could be a good subscriber market for them. They're actually growing numbers there.
Iran.
The share was up 8% yesterday.
Really?
And yeah, I think traders are beginning to bet that this is the bottom. Like, I don't know. You know me. I'm a little bit nervous when it comes to trying to pick the bottom. So we'll wait and see. And you know, the new CEO, the new team haven't really got their feet under the desk yet. So there's kind of, it's interesting. I think it's interesting that the people are pushing the share up so much yesterday.
Were there other reports? Standard Bank?
Yes, Standard Bank also reported diluted headline earnings per share up 3%. The share was up 6.5%. You know, our banks have always been really solid, really good institutions. The banking ROE for Standard, return on equity for Standard Bank was 16.8%. So it's not First Rand, which is in the 20s. Like, First Rand really is just a phenomenal runaway success when it comes to ROEs and credit loss ratios and all those things. The other thing that Standard Bank did have was a positive Jaws ratio. And this, we always use funny terms in finance, I know. Jaws basically is the extent to which income growth, it's the difference between income growth and expenditure growth, and it's measured in a percentage, and it's how those two change. So positive jaws basically is your income is growing faster than your expenses, and you know, and you run a business, so you never want your expenses to exceed your revenue, and you don't ever want that ratio to be narrowed.
Well, you'd think that was fairly easy standard business practice. I mean, nobody goes into business to make a loss.
Exactly. So well done to Standard Bank. I mean, these are tough times, you know, and they're still managing to produce some really good results. So I think the share price up 6.5% was well deserved. And then we had a new listing yesterday, Premier Food and Fishing. The stock code is PFF.
You told us about these guys the other day, right?
That's right, yes. They're being spun out of AEEI, which is African Empowerment Equity Investment, something like that. The share was 4 times oversubscribed. They IPO'd at 4.50 rand. The share closed at 5.04 rand, so 12% higher. But we said this was going to happen because this is a stock that, like, Henry looked at. We just know that there's always new money and excitement around IPOs. But we didn't take up any in the IPO because long term we're a bit worried. You know, their forecasts, they were using a rand exchange rate which we didn't agree with, and there's a couple of things like the fishing quotas and the kind of currency that moves that they could experience. There's another fishing listing coming at the end of the month, Sea Harvest.
Oh, yeah.
They're being spun out of Brimstone. We actually quite like, well, what I've seen of it, I quite like Sea Harvest. I haven't done a full analysis yet. I will probably this weekend or next week. So far I like it.
The way humans are fishing the seas to death, though, I would say that this is probably not a sustainable business long term, and they're going to run out of fish eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know anymore. You order something at a restaurant and it says king clip, but it might as well be carp. You have no idea.
Oh, I don't want to think about this, please, can I not?
Next time you have sushi, you find out it's barbel.
I scuba dive, and already I don't eat sole because I know what it looks like.
Oh, my, what a horrible-looking fish, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I actually just cannot eat it anymore.
Yeah. I don't have a problem eating fish because they're such ugly-looking things. They freak me out as well. I'm with you.
And then offshore, we also had a new listing yesterday on the New York Stock Exchange Snapchat listed. Under the code SNAP. How original. So first of all, note that they listed on the NASDAQ and not, I mean, the New York Stock Exchange and not the NASDAQ, which is the tech exchange. I think they were a bit worried that the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to Facebook in 2012. Facebook listed, and for the first 15 or 20 minutes, they had technical problems and they couldn't trade. I mean, the irony of a tech company listing on a tech exchange and having technical difficulties is something else. Yep. Anyway, Snapchat, the stock soared 44% last night. Can you believe it? It's now really? The company is now valued, yes, the company is now valued at $28 billion.
Wow.
And to think, and to think that 3 years ago, Mark Zuckerberg offered, what's his name, Evan Spiegel and his partner Murphy, offered them $3 billion. And today, the company's worth $28 billion.
Yeah, but they should have still taken that money because I'm telling you, these things never last.
You're gonna well, go that's up, the thing, right?
You get the initial public offering and everybody buys in. And then before you know it, they're playing with your share in the stock market. And you know how that happens. Like a company can go from fantastic value to zero, well, close to zero in very little time.
And you make a good point, because whatever percentage of that $28 billion they own, it's probably still paper profits, unless they start selling down their shares. And, you know, the one thing you don't actually want, well, I suppose they've already sold down their some of their shareholding to the public, you know, so they'll get some cash out of it for sure. But one thing you don't want is the CEO of a company listing and then selling shares, or the founder, because that's a sign, right?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, if they'd just taken the $3 billion, are you kidding me? $3 billion from Zuckerberg. It's a no-brainer. Start something new.
Yeah, it's quite something.
Maybe I'm stupid. Anyway. If you want to argue with me, that's fine. What the hell do I know? But I would have taken the $3 billion from Zuckerberg and got the hell out.
Right. No one ever went broke banking a cash profit, right?
Sure. And now they have to make sure that the company stays profitable. This is the challenge. Like all these tech companies, they first got to find a way to monetize. And then once they've found that, they've got to do rapid acceleration in terms of sales or whatever it is that they do. That's the hardest part.
And you make a very good point, because if they had sold to Facebook, they could have been integrated into the group. They could have extracted synergies from other companies within the group. Now they're kind of a standalone. What happens now?
Right. And you're at the mercy of shareholders who are demanding year-on-year improvements.
This is true.
Before they were
at
just
the mercy of us.
Yeah, they were just running it themselves before. It was easy. They could like sit in a boardroom and the three or four of them could have agreed, we're going to do this, do it, and then, you know, your company does well or does poorly, but you only have each other to talk to about it. Now suddenly you're responsible to all these public shareholders and they're expecting astronomical growth. They're expecting a return on their investment. Dividends. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
You're insane.
You probably should have given this lecture to Jack Dorsey of Twitter before he listed.
Well, look
just a typical example.
Look what happened to him, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I'm afraid we're going into the weekend with very negative-looking global markets, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. But maybe the rand seems to be weakening a bit, so maybe that'll help us. Maybe that'll lift our shares, our rand hedges.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Have a good weekend.
Cool. You too. Have a good weekend. All right. There's Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. What is the time? It is 7 o'clock on the dot. If you're looking at that for some reason, maybe you have an appointment now. Maybe you've just hit the traffic. We're here to look after you. Keep you company. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.